Chapter 26. Foggy woke before dawn on Father's Day to the sound of the bedroom door shutting with the softest of clicks. He opened his eyes and raised his head slightly, flopping back down against the soft pillows with a defeated sigh when he heard a second door shut on the floor below, not even 20 seconds later. He rolled over, a sudden emptiness filling his chest with the realization that Matt had left. He reached out a hand to touch the empty space beside him where Matt no longer was, despite knowing that he was gone. It wasn't too late to go after him. Foggy could still run down the stairs in his pajamas and chase him down the street, but for what? So that Matt could tell him he didn't understand how it felt to lose the only parent he'd ever known, and go off on his own anyway? It wasn't worth arguing about it. Matt wouldn't let him offer sympathy or comfort. He wouldn't let himself be distracted from the painful reality that was Father's Day for him. No matter how much Foggy wanted to be there for him, if Matt didn't want him to be, there was no forcing the issue, not without driving Matt further away. He sighed again and rolled flat on his back, staring up at the ceiling in the semi-darkness. He couldn't help but feel upset about it, and he scrubbed a hand over his face, his eyes burning. He loved Matt so intensely at times. He wanted so much to be enough for him, to be able to erase all his pain and trauma and usher in a sunny era for Matt, where nothing hurt and everything was perfect. But life and pain simply didn't work that way, and Foggy knew it. He tried in vain to go back to sleep, but it proved impossible. The only thing he could think about was Matt at Christmas time, depressed and drunk, reminiscing about his dad. For the life of him, Foggy couldn't remember half of what Matt had told him about Jack Murdoch, just that he missed him and felt abandoned by him in the wake of his dad's passing. That feeling persisted all these years later, and the truly awful thing was that was a habit for Matt by now, spending this day in misery and isolation. Abandonment experienced by choice, when really, there was a whole family waiting to welcome him and love him, and make him feel like he belonged with them. Matt wouldn't let himself be loved and empathized with. He equated such emotions with pity, and if there was one thing Matt Murdoch wouldn't be, it was pitied. So he'd left. Knowing that he'd be back didn't make it easier for Foggy to bear the separation. Especially knowing that Matt was likely to come back drunk and emotionally hollowed out. Try as he might, he couldn't put the thought of the tortured and grieving Matt from his mind. He gave up on sleeping around 7, and whiled away the hours until lunchtime with a long shower and several hours spent channel surfing. He called his dad to wish him a happy Father's Day mid-morning, promising to stop by in the afternoon to celebrate in person. After a solitary lunch consisting of a leftover bagel and a very limp salad, Foggy pulled on his sneakers, pocketed his keys, and picked up the present he'd bought for his dad, a wooden box of heirloom seeds that he'd beaten out 16 other bidders for on eBay. It hadn't come cheap, but his dad was passionate about growing the old varieties in his little garden, and it was Father's Day, so what the hell? The 2 or 3 hours he wound up spending with his parents and siblings did him good. He felt bolstered by their presence and by his mom's fussing. He didn't get that from Matt very often. He was Mr. Independent, and he didn't tend to spoil others or let himself be spoiled. His absence was noticed and asked about, and Foggy's feelings about it must have shown on his face, because Candace actually hugged him when he managed to explain that Matt had other plans. Private ones. He didn't tell his family that Matt was sorry he couldn't come, or that he'd wanted to be there, because it felt like a lie. Matt didn't want to be here. He wanted to be alone in his grief, and Foggy couldn't change that. Neither could Theo or Candace, or even the likes of Edward Nelson. Despite his many admirable qualities and his funny stories about fatherhood, at the end of the day, he wasn't Matt's dad. Jack Murdoch couldn't be replaced, and Matt would never let him be. It was a sobering realization for Foggy. He'd spent so much of his life sheltered by a loving family, reveling in joyous occasions and support and affection freely offered. Matt hadn't, and there was a chance that this wouldn't change for him, that in 10 or 20 years, he'd still be grieving his father, and Foggy would be here, explaining away his absence. That was hard to take. Matt fit in so perfectly with his family that until now, Foggy had never thought that he'd want to be anywhere else, that Matt would sooner honor his dad on Father's Day by clinging to his pain and his memories than forget about him for a few hours and celebrate with a different dad. He felt both moved and saddened by that. When he returned to Uncle Timmy and Aunt Jeannie's empty house, the first thing he did was pick up his phone and call Matt. The call rolled straight to voicemail, but Foggy hadn't expected anything different. "Matt," he started after the beep, sighing and struggling to find something comforting to say. "I'm worried about you. Just come home when you're ready, okay? Be safe. It's Foggy." He didn't know why he felt the need to add that last bit. Matt knew his voice by now. He'd said as much himself. There was just so much more that he wanted to say and he couldn't. He set the phone down and settled on the couch to wait for Matt. He waited for a long time. It was almost 4 a.m. by the time Matt came back to the house. Foggy was dozing fitfully in an armchair when he heard a noise, opened his eyes, saw Matt and jumped, nearly falling out of his chair. He hadn't expected him to appear out of the shadows cast by the one-lit lamp, and he hadn't expected this, but maybe he should have. Matt looked like hell. It was the first time since they'd met that Foggy wished he was wearing his glasses. Maybe that was a selfish wish, but he couldn't help it. Matt's eyes were red-rimmed and puffy, like he'd been crying for hours, tears still trembling in his lower lashes, and that broke Foggy's heart. He reached for him without even thinking about it, taking Matt's hand, the knuckles that he'd kissed so tenderly only a few days ago, now split, bruised and bloody. Foggy wanted to cry, but he couldn't because Matt had that covered. He drew him down onto his lap, and Matt buried his face in Foggy's striped gray Henley shirt, shaking with grief and exhaustion. Foggy brought a hand up and gently stroked Matt's hair, rendered completely incapable of speech. Maybe it was better that way, though, he decided, as his fingers combed through Matt's hair again and again. He couldn't comfort Matt with words, only touch. And that was easier to give than understanding he simply didn't have around grief and loss. He was too young and too sheltered to know that particular pain, but Matt did, and Foggy never even dreamed of criticizing him for how he handled it, no matter how many hours he'd spent worrying about him after he'd disappeared. "Sorry I left," Matt croaked, pulling back slightly and managing to string a sentence together after nearly 10 minutes of being held and comforted. "It's okay. I know why you did. I'd rather you give me a heads up, but where did you go?" Foggy asked, not imagining for a single minute that Matt would actually tell him, but he did. "My dad's old apartment building, the cemetery, the gym where he trained, the ring where he had his last fight, the alleyway where I found..." Matt stopped speaking abruptly, as if he was afraid he'd said too much already. Foggy just looked at him, hardly daring to breathe. Something flickered across Matt's face then, an emotion that was too complex and too fleeting for Foggy to narrow down to anything immediately recognizable. He released a breath he hadn't realized he'd been holding, watching all the color drain from Matt's face. "Where you found what?" Foggy asked, sensing that he was pushing his luck with him. Matt's secrets had secrets. He didn't give them up easily. "It doesn't matter," came the soft reply, and Foggy sighed, letting it go for now. "Okay," he said, nodding his head. "Really?" Matt muttered, seeming surprised by his readiness to let him keep his secrets. Foggy was surprised, too. He'd thought that he needed to know, that when Matt came back, they'd talk about his disappearing act, and a little something called open communication, but he realized now that he didn't want to. He didn't want to know the how or the why of it. Matt was hurting. He didn't need to understand the deeper parts of his grief to comfort him, or even to support him through it. He didn't need to comfort Matt on his own terms. He just needed Matt to know that he could come to him for comfort, and he had. Matt knew that he cared about him. He didn't need to be told. "You obviously don't want to talk about it, so okay. I'm not pushing you," Foggy declared, rewarded for his sensitivity when Matt sighed and moved closer, resting his head against Foggy's shoulder. "After he died, I was placed in an orphanage. St. Agnes," Matt explained. That was more than Foggy had ever thought he'd get out of him when he was so emotionally wrung out. How did you find out he was gone?" Foggy asked, hesitating before he asked his next question. "Did social services come, or the police, or..." He faltered when Matt immediately stiffened. His roommate slowly sat up, drawing a deep breath and letting it out slowly. He didn't pull away, though. He could have. He could have declared the subject off-limits or pointed out that it was late, or painfully early, and Foggy would have let it go, but Matt surprised him. "He was late that night, and I tried to wait for him, but I was tired," Matt admitted through trembling lips as Foggy struggled to remember how to breathe. "When I heard the shot, blocks away, I knew. I went out and I found his body, Fog." "God, Matt," was all Foggy could find to say in response. It was so shocking, so horrifying and awful to contemplate, that all he could do was wrap his arms around Matt and hold him. He hadn't just lost his dad that night. He'd lost his innocence and any sense of safety. How in the hell did Matt go to sleep in the kind of world where his dad had been killed and his body left for him to find? He didn't have any answers, only tears, only a deep level of horror that made him feel sick. "I'm so sorry," Foggy whispered, tightening his grip on him. "Foggy, can I?" Matt asked tentatively. Yeah, whatever you need," Foggy immediately agreed, knowing what Matt needed for comfort, his heartbeat. Matt rested his head against his chest, his eyelids fluttering closed as he seemed to relax slightly. Foggy held him and swallowed hard, trying not to think about Matt straining to hear his dad's heartbeat, only to realize it was stilled forever by Sweeney, by the guy Elektra had served up on a platter for Matt to avenge his father on. And he hadn't. It was messed up. It was so messed up. And Foggy couldn't help but think that if Matt needed the rest of his life to grieve Jack Murdock, he'd let him. Partly because what Matt had endured was so horrifying and traumatizing, but mostly because he loved him. And if that meant not every celebration could be happy, he'd make that sacrifice for Matt, because that was love too. Giving up what you wanted for what someone else needed. Matt's grief was still so deep and raw after all this time. That told Foggy he'd never been able to process it properly or in a healthy way. That needed to change somehow. With time and help, and most importantly, with Matt's agreement. If there was one thing Foggy knew for sure, it was that Matt had one hell of a self-destruct button, and he couldn't let him press it. He loved him too much for that. End chapter 26.